So go ahead and open in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. So we finished last week a series called Great Commission Church, in which we looked at what is our mission together. We saw don't waste your life, the call to don't waste your life. And then we looked at what is our call. And so we talked about evangelism. And then last week we talked about discipleship and what does discipleship look like moving forward here at Normandale. And so now that we're moving on from that series, I want you to remember that we're not moving on from Great Commission work. And so that is going to be something that we are pushing as a church, or continuing to push as a church, as we've been doing for many years. That was something for me I wanted to be mindful about as we're moving on. It's not just something we talk about for 3 weeks and then move on to some other topic. That's the thing. Like, that's what our church is about, is the Great Commission. And so we're going to continue to push that as a church. But this morning, I want to talk about something else before we begin our next series, which is starting next week, which is we're going to be walking through 1 Kings together. But for this week, I want to share a couple verses that have been really helpful for me recently, the past couple weeks, months. I came across this verse reading in the New Living Translation, and it's Philippians 4, starting in verse 6. And here's what it says. I'm reading from the CSB like normal, but I'll read it from the NLT here in a little bit. But it says, "Don't worry about anything. But in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Let's pray as we look at God's word together this morning. So, Father, come before you, and we thank you for these words, this message of hope for us, and that you are out there and you're present with us, and you don't want us to carry our worries, our burdens, but you want us to give them to you. And so I pray that you would help us to understand that, to really grasp that this morning, and be able to live in freedom this week, and be able to pass the things that we're worried about on to you. And so we ask for your help in looking at this text today, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if there's anything I know about people, it's that we are worriers. Most of us, we always, like daily, can find things to worry about. For example, we worry about our jobs. We worry about job security. We worry about how well we're doing our jobs. We worry about whether our coworkers like us in our jobs. We worry about whether our boss likes us in our jobs. There's a plethora of things related to your job that you worry about. Relationships. Does this guy like me? Does he not like me? I remember dating, okay, text message. You read and do every single text message. If someone texts you the letter K, and that's it, all of a sudden, it's not just like, he just said okay, or she said okay. It's now like, why were they so short? What did they mean by that? You read into everything, and like, really, they were just driving, and they didn't want to look at their phone, but they sent K. But you're like, oh no, what does this mean? Or if they send a text and they end it with a period, that means they're done with the conversation. And you read into it, and you're like, wait, they don't want to talk to me anymore? You worry. We worry about everything. You worry about our kids. You worry about your kids' relationships with other people. Worry about how they're doing in school. You worry about whether they're enjoying what they're learning in school. You worry about their different activities. Are they in too many activities? Are they not in enough activities? We worry about all these different things with their kids. For me, Darrow has been gone this weekend, and I was going to pick up pizzas at Sam's. You know what I was worried about for a while leading up to going to pick up pizzas at Sam's? Going to pick up pizzas at Sam's. I was worried about it. And so, like, I was driving, and I was feeling stress, not because I can't handle my kids. I love my kids. Honestly, like, Dara goes away for the weekend. No one's worried about it. Like, I'm not worried about not being able to handle my children. I'm their dad. But I was worried about getting everyone into Sam's without getting run over, without a second set of hands, and then getting to the pizza cafe area. We go to Sam's because it's the best pizza there is. Okay, that's why we go to Sam's Pizza. And so we went to go get the Sam's. I'm like, I've got to get them to the pizza thing and then back out to the car with no one getting run over, with no one grabbing everything off the rack. And we're past the stage where we can load them in the stroller. Like, we don't carry the stroller with us all the time. The boys want to walk. I want to walk. I want to walk the whole time. And so I'm like, okay, fine. We can walk. And so, you know, I'm sitting there worried about, like, going, making my trip to Sam's. Now, we are worried. We worry about whether our armpits are sweaty in the middle of a meeting. We're sitting there like, oh, no. Like, you don't want to check it in the middle of the meeting because that's embarrassing. But then, like, you kind of try to, you know, you sit there and you worry about it, right? We are worry people. We're worry factories. Why? What's the problem for us? Is we fundamentally know that we are not in control of our situation. That's the reality. Is we know that we're not the ones who are ultimately in control. I know my sons are my responsibility. My kids, my daughter, they're my responsibility. I should be able to get them into Sam's and out of Sam's and no one die. But I also know that I cannot control my kids at every second of the way through Sam's. And so we're worry people. And so Paul knows this about us, right? He knows, by the way, Sam's trip went fine. It was great. Why? I prayed about it. I prayed for God to give us a spot close to the front. We got the second spot in our row. I prayed for him to allow us to be able to get in with no issues and get out. My kids, we all five of us held hands walking in. I put them all, they lined up. Please put me in the basket. Lined up. I put them in the basket. They were perfect. June just wrote on the side of it. I pushed them to the cafe thing. They were pumped that we were picking up pizza. We leave the thing. Everyone piles back into the car. It was perfect. Why? I prayed about it. And here, Paul knows, as a side note, I don't want you to worry about how the Sam's trip went. That was just a side. But we're worried people, and Paul knows that about us. And so here at the end of Philippians, he's writing this letter to people that he loves, this church family in Philippi who care deeply about Paul and who are supporting him on his mission. They're sending him money to help support him as he travels around to plant churches. He loves these people, and so he's writing this note to them at the very end, and what he says is he's giving them a list of things to, like, hey, remember this as you're moving out. So he says, listen, be gracious to people. Rejoice always. And he says, also, I know this about you, because I know this is about all people. Don't worry. Look what he says in verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Now, for you and me, if you struggle with anxiety, if you struggle with worry, someone telling you don't worry is probably not always the most helpful thing you've ever been given, right? For example, with my kids, if one of them starts crying, my reaction is not, like, if it's a whiny cry, if it's a cry that's like they're hurt, I'm like, okay, I'm going to see what's going on. But if it's a whine cry, I'm not going to be like, please come tell me what's wrong. Like, I don't, no. What's my predominant reaction when my daughter's whine crying in the room? I'm like, stop crying. Like, just natural. That doesn't help the situation. It never makes her stop crying. It just makes her mad as well as whatever else she's whining about. And so for us, if we're worrying, being told, don't worry, that's not always the most helpful thing. Why? Because you have to do something with what you're worried about. You've got it in your head, and we know naturally, you've got to do something with it. And so Paul says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That was the New Living Translation. Here's what it says in CSB. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Don't worry about anything. I love the New Living Translation in this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. What does Paul tell us to do with our worries? When you are worried about your kid, when you are worried about your job, when you're worried about the fact that you're embarrassed over having a Catboy PJ Mask Band-Aid And you're like, man, people are going to think I'm weird. Like you're sitting here worried about this stuff. What does Paul say do with those worries? He says, don't worry about it. Instead, pray about it. And that, like, I've read this passage many times. I've read it many times, but it's never clicked with me until about a month ago when I read it and I was worrying about something. And then all of a sudden, everything made sense of, wait, God says, don't worry about this, but instead to take it and pray to him about it. I was like, I've never thought about that before. That's amazing. It was like this light bulb went off for me. He says, listen, pray about it. And so after that time, like that night, I started thinking, okay, what all am I worried about? And like this verse has been playing over and over and over in my mind. Like whenever I start to worry about something, Dara's been gone this weekend. I'm worried about something happening to her. Not that like if she were in town, she would have more, like less things to happen to her. I'm just like, but she's gone and I'm out of like my reach to like save her, I guess. And so I'm like, I'm worried all weekend because I don't want anything to happen to my wife. But this weekend, guess what I've done? I've prayed for her. Why? Because I've had this verse playing over and over in my mind. Now, I want you to see something about it. Because Paul is telling us something about God in this verse. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Paul is telling us this, is that there is a God out there who cares so deeply about you that he does not want you to feel and carry the burden of your worries. But instead, he says, give it to me and let me handle it. And that is a profound thought. That's a profound thought, that the God out there doesn't want you to be burdened. He wants him to be burdened. He says, give it to me. Let me handle it. Please give it to me. And then look what he gives us in its place, in exchange. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so, like I said previously, I've read this verse a lot, these two verses, but it's never clicked with me until about a month ago. And I read it, and I was like, wait a second. If I have worries, and then I give them to God, and I trust that he hears it, then through my faith, I don't have to worry about it anymore. And guess what I can have in that place? Peace about that situation. Why? Because the God of the universe said he'll handle it. That is the mind, like that was mind-blowing to me. That was mind-blowing to me. So really, what is all of this about? Faith. All of this is about faith. It's a prayer of faith. This is how faith works. It's like I give it to God, and I trust him to handle it, and then therefore I don't have to worry about it anymore. I've delegated it. God's got it covered. It's his deal now, not mine. And so I'm going to trust that he's going to handle it, and I can live at peace. Now, it's not a one-time thing. Sometimes this is a multiple daily, minutely thing where you say, okay, no, God, I ask you to handle this. I'm asking for your peace. And then 5 minutes later, I'm worried about this again. God, I'm asking for you to handle this. Give me your peace. But I've had this going into meetings, going into, like, just thinking about Dara being gone, going into Sam's. I'm worried about this stuff, and I recognize I'm worried about it. And so I've prayed, and I said, God, I need you to handle this. And I have had, after memorizing these two verses and thinking through it and applying it into these different situations in my life, significantly more peace leading into whatever I was worried about than I have in recent memory. And I'm not exaggerating that. And I read this verse, so I'm doing my Bible reading plan, and I'm focusing on 1 and 2 Kings because that's what we're going to be going through together for the next quite a while. We'll see how long it actually is. But in 2 Kings, what JT read, there's an Aramean war happening. And I read this One day I was really worrying about something, and I was praying this prayer like, God, I'm trying to have peace in this situation. I need your help. And so Dara turned and she's like, have you prayed about this? Have you read your Bible? You know, and that day or that couple days I hadn't been. I was just getting really worked up. And she's like, have you read? And I was like, you know what? I didn't say it that kindly. At that point, I kind of was like, I'm trying, you know? But then I was like, you know what? She's right. So I went in my room and I just kind of pulled up my my phone on my reading app and I came to this text that day, and it says this: and the king of Aram was waging war against Israel. He conferred with his servants and he said, my camp will be at such and such place. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, be careful passing by that place, for the Arameans are going down there. So this is Elisha. So backstory here. The Israelites and the Arameans are not getting along. They want to fight each other. And Elisha is the prophet for Israel. And basically he's saying, these dudes want to attack you, so be careful going over there. Consequently, the king of Israel sent word to the place that the man of God had told him about. And so the man of God repeatedly warned the king so the king would be on his guard. So whatever the Arameans were going to do, Elisha knew about it because God gave it to him. And then he relayed that information to the king of Israel saying, watch out, they're going to do this next. Watch out, they're going to do this next. And the king of Aram was enraged because of this matter. And he called his servants and demanded of them, tell me which of us is for the king of Israel. Which of you guys is the spy? That's what he's saying. And one of his servants said, no one, my lord. Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel, even the words you speak in your bedroom. So the king said, go and see where he is so I can send men to capture him. When he was told, Elisha is in Dothan. So he said, okay, we're changing plans. If that's the dude who's ruining our plans, Elisha, we're going to go track that guy down and kill him. So this guy's doing God's job, makes these guys mad at him. So now this whole army is going to go chase Elisha down. He sent horses, chariots, and a massive army there. And they went by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God got up early and went out, he discovered an army with horses and chariots surrounding the city. And that army was coming for him and his master Elisha. So it's a scary day. You wake up, you see this army surrounding the city you're in, and they're coming for you. And so he asked Elisha, oh my master, what are we going to do? And so he looks up, and he sees the reality of a situation, and it's looking pretty bleak. This army is coming for him and his master, and they're surrounded. And he's filled with worry. And so he looks to Elisha, and he's like, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this situation? And look what Elisha says. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? For those who are with us outnumber those who are with them. And then Elisha prayed, and he said, Lord, please open his eyes and let him see. So the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw that the mountain was covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And so Elisha and his servant were looking at the exact same situation. And for the servant, he was filled with anxiety, fear, worry, had no clue how to handle the situation. And then you had Elisha, who looked at the exact same situation, but through the eyes of faith. Looked at the exact same situation, and he could see that the God of the universe was present with them in that moment. And so I read that, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have been so worried about this, whatever it was. And I've been playing it over and over in my mind of what's going to happen. What could happen? How is this going to be handled? I don't know. And I read this verse, and I saw that what Elisha said is, don't be afraid. For those who are with us are greater than those who are with them. And then I said, the same is true for me. Not in the sense of I'm on God's team and whoever was, you know, whatever the situation is anti-God. No, no, no. But if God was with Elisha in this manner, how much more is God with, like, those that were bought by the blood of Christ and adopted into the family of the Father? How much more is the Spirit of God with us as we look in our situations? And that, when I read that, filled me with so much peace moving forward from there. Because the Spirit of God reminded me that He was with me moving out. And He wanted to handle my situation. He wanted me to give it to Him for Him to handle and me to just trust Him in faith and be able to walk in peace. So I prayed. I prayed just like that guy. I said, God, give me eyes to see. Give me eyes to see. And so here is the call for you. Here is the call for you as a child of God, bought with the blood of Christ and having the Spirit of Christ in you. Here is what God says to you. Don't live by fear. Don't dwell in your worry. Instead, live by faith. How? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He's done. Then you will experience God's peace. And this peace will guard your hearts and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. That's what He says. And so come lay your worries at the feet of Christ, who has the power to confront what's behind them. That's the call. And then trust Him to give you peace in that situation. And so if you are listening to this and you don't know Christ, if you don't have a relationship with Him, you can. You can gain the Spirit of Christ to come and live inside of you and to lead you to be someone who has and experiences peace. You can. Here's what you do. You call out to Him. You call out to Him and you say, God, I've been living my own way, but I want to trust You and follow You with my life. That's that. So He died on the cross in your place so that way you can experience life with Him. And when you call out to Him and then you tell someone else you did that, then He adopts you, God adopts you into His family. And you can experience peace. And so that's the call for us. So I want to read this one more time to you as the band comes up. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And so here's the question, is what do you need to hand over to God this morning? And so I'm going to pray. And then the band's going to play just for about a minute to give you time to pray and assess and hand your worries over to Christ and allow His peace to come into your life. And so, Father, we come before You. And we thank You for this word. God, we thank You for the fact that You are there and You are present and You want us to be free from our burdens, You want to handle them for us. And so I pray that You would help us grasp that. And so we love You for the grace that You've shown us in this. Help us to believe and to be able to walk in freedom as a result. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.